everybody, and welcome to the weekly Nintendo News Roundup Live. Reach over Friday night, the All-In Crew breaks down the week in Nintendo news. Good to see you, Eric.
You too, buddy. Doing well. I am, you know, no complaints. It's Friday. Gonna get to...
Classic. Classic Friday song.
Yes.
Is there... I don't know if there's a better Friday song that has been written than that. It's right there in the name, Friday. Well, she got it in one.
Well, I was going to say written or performed, but I mean, it's really not. I really shouldn't have opened that can of worms, should I?
Yeah, I mean, hey, I if you watch Stephen Colbert's cover of it, then, you know,
I've
you
could never see that. That's performed.
Oh, you should remedy that. It's really good. Stephen Colbert performed it on his show live, so it is an actual live performance of it, and it's pretty excellent. So anyways,
check that out after we finish up here tonight. But good evening, everybody. I hope you're having a good Friday yourselves, whether or not you happen to be singing the Rebecca Black classic yourself. Hope you're all having fun. Hope you're all doing well. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Absolutely. Big thanks to everybody who's tuning in live, people checking us out on your audio feed, watching the VOD, all that fun stuff. Eric, there's a lot to get into tonight.
Yeah.
But first things first, we need to thank our patrons.
Yeah.
You need to go ahead and thank those wonderful people who support us, patreon.com/allinpodcast. First of all, big thanks to Bob Blah Blah for checking out the free trial over there. Big thanks to you. Hopefully you're enjoying some of that content over there. But
sure
I hope so. We do have, of course, a 7-day free trial over there on Patreon for y'all to check out and see some exclusive content for yourself. But let's thank our Golden Banana tier patrons right now. Thank you to Rob Yapel, Sean O'Baggins, Ashton, Tim A, a.k.a. NeoPrime33, a.k.a. Nintendo Dad Number 4, Phelan Ward, Bill Tucker, Marcus O'Neill, whose son Miles' birthday is today.
So yeah, happy third birthday, Miles.
Shoutouts to Miles. Liam D, Gamer Jason, Andrew Wilkins, Foolish Fuji, Alan Hashtag Look to the Cookie, Solo, and SAZ. Big thanks to our Golden Banana Bunch over there. Again, 7-day free trial to that tier. Exclusive content going up there every single week. But moving into our Triforce tier. You think Josh Vaughn, the godfather of Tingle Love Tuesday, John Datfast Cummins of the Retro Logic Podcast, as well as the On Topic Retro Podcast, the Globetrotten Jet Set Nintendo Hub and Sparky of the Nintendo Hub on YouTube, Adam Caparello of the Retro Groove Podcast, Shy Guy, the other half of our Shy Guy Mod Squad, thank you, Shy Guy, Danny Linahosa, Dan and Luma, Bowza, the Keeper of the Hugs, and the legend himself.
Friday in human form, Uncle Randy.
Uncle Randy. Friday King Uncle Randy. Big thanks to our patrons. We appreciate y'all. Again, that's a great way to support the show. Throw a few bones our way for our hard work. There's also merch available at bit.ly/allinmerch. Great way to support the show. And if you listen to us on your audio feeds, reviews are appreciated as well. 5-star ratings on your podcatcher of choice. Free, quick, and easy way to support the show. If you watch us on YouTube after the show's already gone live, likes, comments, all that stuff, very, very helpful. But with all that being said, Eric, there is, like I said, plenty of news to get into today. So what do you say we get into it?
Yes, sir. A couple serious stories to start off with. Yeah, let's talk about it, my friend.
Let's talk about it. Yeah, the biggest news of the week by far was the sad passing of Akira Toriyama. Sadly passed away on March 1st. We just learned about this last night.
Yeah. That surprised me. But
he actually passed away on the 1st.
On the 1st, yeah. I mean, I imagine it was understandably to give the family and friends of Master Toriyama kind of their own time before the world inevitably, you know, kind of it broke the internet. So, but yes, I mean, I grew up in Japan in the early 90s. And I was very young, and I really didn't know much about Japanese culture at all. But I'll tell you what I knew. I knew Dragon Ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was everywhere. Every time that I even... Because I lived on a military base in Japan. I was still surrounded by a lot of American culture. But every time I even barely ventured off into Japan proper, it was just absolutely everywhere. And then, of course, we wound up getting Dragon Ball Z in the West in the late 90s, thanks to Toonami. And,
yeah.
I mean, I knew probably several dozen people who that immediately became their entire personality. I'm never going to, pretend that I'm an encyclopedic reservoir of knowledge of Mr. Toriyama's works. But, I mean, just the big ones speak for themselves. Obviously, I've already mentioned Dragon Ball Z. He was part of the dream team that put together a game that many people still consider decades later to be the greatest RPG of all time, myself considered. I mean, his impact on the Dragon Quest franchise is undeniable. The word legend, the word icon, kind of gets thrown around a lot when, you know, people die, whenever celebrities die, people in the creative space die. But like, those all seem to undersell his influence. And I've seen a lot of people just in the past 24 hours since we've learned, I've seen a lot of people post little things about that influence in regards to that influence, in regards to the Super Mario Brothers franchise and the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise and other places that I wasn't even aware of. Honestly, I had never seen that original Yuji Horii reference sketch for the slime before Akira Toriyama got his hands on it. I mean, how do you summarize a man's life like that in just a few minutes in the time we have here? I can't.
Yeah, you certainly can't. And this one was really impactful to me in a way that I didn't really expect. For me, celebrity deaths usually sort of wash over me, and I'm not even a big Dragon Ball guy. Like, I was when I was a kid, huge. Yeah. I mean, every young boy was a Dragon Ball fan. But like,
every single young boy in the world has tried it at some point in their life. Don't lie. You've done it. I have. I know Seth has. We've all tried it at some point.
Yeah, big time. My friends and I used to, like, on the playground at school, literally, we're doing Kamehamehas and Spirit Bombs, and yeah, totally. We're trying to make ourselves go Super Saiyan, like, just being idiots, you know. I mean, like, the influence just on that level, on my childhood, you know, before I even made the connection, stupidly, like, I never even crossed the bridge until later of, like, oh, like, this guy also did Chrono Trigger and stuff like this. Like that connection wasn't made in my own head until later in life. Even though it's obvious, his art style is so immediately striking. What I think has hit me the hardest about this one, though, is what you said. The influence that this dude has had over so much of pop culture in general, the world over, is insane to consider. Like, it's unbelievable. The idea that one man could make an impact like this. I mean, it is a short, stern list of people who have had as much of an impact on pop culture as Akira Toriyama did.
Like Walt Disney levels of influence.
Big time. So yeah, there's a few things I want to hit on here in regards to him, just to sort of celebrate his life a little bit and his connection to Nintendo. But the first thing that I want to mention is I want to read the statement that was issued regarding his passing. I've got the Dragon Ball official website posted here on screen. If you're watching the video version, it says, "Dear friends and partners, we're deeply saddened to inform you that manga creator Akira Toriyama passed away on March 1st due to acute subdural hematoma. He was an age of 68. It's our deep regret that he still had several works in the middle of creation with great enthusiasm. Also, he would have many more things to achieve. However, he has left many manga titles and works of art to this world. Thanks to the support of so many people around the world, he's been able to continue his creative activities for over 45 years. We hope that Akira Toriyama's unique world of creation continues to be loved by everyone for a long time to come. We inform you this sad news with gratefulness for your kindness during his lifetime. Funeral service was held with his family and very few relatives, following his wishes for tranquility. We respectfully inform you that we would not accept flowers, condolence gifts, visitings, offerings, and others. Also, we ask you to refrain from conducting interviews with his family. Future plan for commemorate gathering is not decided. We will let you know when that's confirmed. We deeply thank you for your understanding and support, as always. So that's the statement that was issued announcing his passing publicly. And yeah, it's been kind of nice to look back at his legacy and career. As you mentioned, you know, he got his start really in earnest in manga in his early 20s when he applied, when he quit his day job and basically applied sight unseen to Weekly Shonen Jump, where he had a couple of failed projects that nobody liked. Until finally he created, his breakout hit, Dr. Slump, which, as you kind of alluded to earlier, the influence of Dr. Slump, I don't think I fully realized. The main character, Arale, of Dr. Slump was cited by Miyamoto when they were creating Super Mario 64 as the main inspiration behind Mario's movement. And you can see it on the screen here. The way Arale would move, like, is the way Mario moves.
Yeah.
Like, straight up. In the anime adaptation, like, the sort of, like, title screens with Arale is exactly what they would emulate for Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I didn't
how
either.
How deep it went.
It's,
you know?
It's insane. And I'm sure a lot of people in the West are, frankly, I'm sure a lot of them are just now learning about Dr. Slump. And I'm sure a lot of people are Googling Akira Toriyama to learn even more about his life and his body of work. And, you know, which is wonderful, you know, learn more about this master of his craft. But again, you know, I see stuff like this and I saw other people post stuff on Twitter. So many indie developers and cartoonists have come out and explicitly said, you know, this, you know, he had such an influence on my work and a lot of the creative things that I've done in my life. It's so far reaching across so many cultures. It Dragon Ball Z, especially, it wasn't just a Japanese thing. That is, I mean, you can see references to Dragon Ball Z in just about everything at this point. I mean, go back to Sonic the Hedgehog. I mean, you know, the Super Saiyan and Super Saiyan. But
yeah.
But again, like, how do you reconcile the life of somebody like that? One of the things that I was thinking about today was, you know, just specifically in regards to Dragon Ball Z, I've probably watched the episode of Death Battle on YouTube, which I know is a weird kind of place to go. But they specifically called Goku the greatest fictional martial artist of all time. And people are constantly comparing Goku and Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Superman, a character that many people created or many people consider to be one of the most prolific and one of the most famous American fictional icons of all time. And many people put Goku right there with Superman. Right. I mean, there aren't enough superlatives in the world, frankly, to accurately describe Mr. Toriyama's work and his influence across this. So, you know, it's easy to jump into hyperbole after the death of somebody like this, but I honestly stand by everything we've said in terms of the scope of how influential this man has been to thousands, if not tens of thousands of creators across the last few decades. Insane.
I mean, to see the statements from, I mean, if there is a manga or anime or video game that you like today, it's probably influenced in some way by Toriyama's work. The statements and, like, the anecdotes and the heartfelt stories shared by, like, the creators of Naruto and One Piece and, like, that stuff was very, very touching to me. I wanted to specifically point to, this was unbelievable to me. You mentioned this, the sketches that Yuji Horii had sent over when he was conceiving Dragon Quest. This is wild.
I know, right?
So this is a collection of sketches that Yuji Horii, when they're conceiving of Dragon Quest, and this is probably the one that's gotten the most attention for good reason, the slime. Yuji Horii sends over just this like mess of nothing slime.
It looks like a poorly drawn mountain, frankly.
And like Toriyama hits him back with the most iconic enemy design, I think, of all time. The Dragon Quest slime. I mean, it doesn't get more iconic than that. And he just like said, hey, like that's just his worldview. Like the way that he saw the world, I think, is so perfectly replicated in that one enemy design of just like, if you think of a slime, what do you think of? For him, it was that. You know, it's wild. And like, that's not even the only example. You look at like, he's like drawing these little devil characters. That's what Toriyama comes up with. The amount of personality that has been added to these designs with very little to work on. This tree stump character, you know, the idea of the king slime, the way he translated that, this weird janky mouse with big ears, this big fat dragon on like a springy tail, you know, I mean, like it's like unreal. And the amount of talent it takes to translate this stuff into what would become these like iconic designs that, you know, are timeless. It's unbelievable. Like I can't fathom that.
It's the designs that Dragon Quest is still using. It's just they're able to more faithfully recreate them due to the increased level of technology that we have. This isn't Dragon Quest 10 or Dragon Quest 11 designs. These are OG Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior designs. And it's the exact designs that the series is still using to this day with virtually no change.
Yeah. It's timeless. And just an immense talent, man. The talent and the influence cannot be overstated. Unfortunately, he did have some ongoing projects. I think the biggest one is that game Sandland. You know, is forthcoming. I think that's the biggest project that was on the docket still for him. That, as far as we know, is still on track to release. But yeah, it's a tremendous loss. And 68 is too young.
Yeah.
Also. So rest in peace to Mr. Toriyama. You know, we'll always be thankful, I think, for the work and like not only his work, but like the work that he inspired. Truly tremendous, like to a scale that I didn't even appreciate until this week. So.
Same. Absolutely same. True icon of the business. One of the greatest, frankly, fictional creators of our time, bar none.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So, yeah, watch some Toriyama stuff, read some Toriyama stuff, play some games or something, and
heck yeah,
celebrate his life a little bit. I think it's a good way to do it. Okay, well, let's move on to a couple of updates from last week's news roundup.
Yes.
Quick little headlines here. I think the biggest one to hit real quick is a quick update on the Nintendo versus Tropic Haze lawsuit that we reported on last week. As we mentioned last week, Eric and I are not lawyers, so we're not going to comment like on the legal side of this. We're just going to report what the story is. And the story is this. Both parties have agreed to settle out of court. Tropic Haze will be paying Nintendo $2.4 million in damages and immediately cease development and distribution of both Yuzu and their 3DS emulator, Citra. That has come to pass already. Yes. It's been signed by a judge already. It's been approved. It's done. And those things are now off the market. They've also all issued statements. I'm not going to pull them up here. You can read them if you want to. But that's what's happening. Yeah. So
there was a potential for this to be a very long, drawn out ordeal. Mm-hmm. But this got decided very, very quickly. And I think that this may wind up putting the fear of God into a lot of other emulators out there, but
already has. Yeah. It already has. There's an emulator. I forget the name of it, but I was reading about this today. There was another emulator that was like, well, we're backing out, you know? You know, I pointed y'all last week to Richard Hoag Law And this is exactly what he predicted was going to happen, because his point was, you know, if Yuzu were to take this to court, not only could they not afford to go to, you know, dance with Nintendo, but like, it would have created legal precedent for the legality of emulators at large, and that's not something they wanted to mess with either, most likely. So that's kind of where he came down on it, and sure enough, that's exactly what they did. Settling out of court was probably the best case scenario.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But regardless, that is now a closed case. Again, $2.4 million dollars to be awarded to Nintendo, and complete cease of development on Citro.
Yeah, and Yuzu. And so that's already done. It's done. Another quick update to a story from last week. We reported last week about the unfortunate delisting of Balatro from many eShops, including the European one. It's now back up. It's back up on the European, Australian, and New Zealand eShops. Japan, still forthcoming. They're still working on it. It did get a change to its age rating still. It's now 18 plus, but you can at least buy it again. So
it's still wild to me, the fact that even though it's up, they're still standing by the fact, well, it's still gambling. Have you actually played the game?
It's insane.
But at the very least, I'm just glad you can buy it. That's what I'm saying. Like, the important thing is the fact that this was actively taking money out of this developer's hands for a completely preposterous reason. So the fact that, you know, it's at least back up on the shop, despite the fact that, I mean, a lot of people seeing this game are going to see it as 18 plus erroneously, and that may stop. That may still stop a lot of people from picking it up. So I hope that they can eventually get the age rating mended back down to a much more appropriate level. But, you know, regardless, baby steps. At least it's available for purchase now. Again, like you said, still waiting on Japan.
We're still waiting on Japan. But yeah, I mean, everybody go buy and play Balatro. It's great.
It's so good.
It is an early contender for, you know, one of the best games of the year. So y'all should play Balatro. congrats to them for that being resolved fairly swiftly. Yeah. So good news there. Okay. Well, Mario Day is coming up.
Yeah. This Sunday, just a couple days away. And weirdly, Nintendo is actually kind of, quote unquote, hyping it up a little bit. They've released a couple vignettes, a couple little video clips of Mario across social media, talking about the history of the plumber across the Nintendo Switch, frankly. But, you know, it has got me thinking, you know, if Nintendo's actually out there trying to celebrate, you know, prior to Mario Day, do they have something up their hands for the day itself? And, you know, there's some birds talking out there about some stuff going on, but we don't know anything official as of this recording.
Yeah, it's interesting because Pyoro, the prolific leaker, has sort of implied that there will be news on Mario Day related to the release date of Paper Mario Thousand Year Door and Luigi's Mansion 2. And like, Mario Day is on a Sunday this year, and Nintendo does not normally communicate on a Sunday, but I mean, who knows? Obviously, today ain't Sunday, so we're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But like with every Mario Day, they're blowing it up with massive sales here on the eShop and at select retailers through the 17th. You can take some discounts on Mario and Mario-related titles. So Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is on sale, Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope, Luigi's Mansion 3, all the Mario stuff is on sale to celebrate Mario Day.
How is there anybody that still doesn't have Mario Kart at this point?
Exactly, right? I mean, like, you probably own all of this stuff already, but hey, if somehow you don't, you know, you have a way to get it. So,
But here we are. We're actually waiting on some Mario Day announcements. We'll see if they come to pass. And if they do, we'll certainly make sure to let you guys know about it next week.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't know if this is maybe Mario Day adjacent, but another sort of thing that they did do this week was they shadow dropped a demo for Princess Peach Showtime.
It's Mushroom Kingdom, so I mean, you know.
I mean, yeah, it is Mushroom Kingdom related. So Princess Peach Showtime, Did get a demo. I've played it. I put a video up on the YouTube channel showing
yes,
it off. That's what we've got right here on the screen. And yeah, it's cute. It's fun. It's a free demo. Take you about 30 minutes to play through it. And it's, you know, it's worth playing. I think a lot of people were kind of waiting on this because they were kind of on the fence about, you know, like, is this going to be the kind of thing that I buy day one or not? You know, so the ability to get your hands on it, I think ahead of time is a smart move for them.
I do too.
So,
and, I know you've played the demo. I haven't had the chance to play the demo yet, but I have heard, you know, it's not quite Dark Souls out there. It looks like it's going to kind of yeah. fall into that, very approachable line, you know, like a Kirby game or something. And this is kind of taking up that same Kirby, you know, release slot, that March, kind of release slot that, you know, a lot of new Kirby games like Forgotten Land came out, around this time a couple of years ago. And I mean, it is a Princess Peach game, so it isn't something that I would imagine would be incredibly difficult anyway, but it looks like the difficulty is going to be very approachable and they may even be directly targeting young kids for this. But regardless, I mean, it still looks like it has all that wonderful Nintendo polish and it comes out in just a couple weeks and I'm still excited to pick it up when it does.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing the full game. Like my, you know, like my reaction after playing the demo was like, yeah, like this is exactly what I thought it was going to be. This is going to be a fun little game to go through. Very polished, you know, very charming, lots of personality going on here. And we've come to learn that Goodfeel is the developer of it.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Nintendo weirdly cagey like they have been lately about who's developing these things, but it's Goodfeel. Yeah, I don't know. It's cool. It's fun. I will say it is easy, but it's not like as easy as you might think. I'll tell you what, man, the Patissier Peach, they let you play the sword fighter and the Patissier stage, the first levels of both. And the Patissier like gets a little tricky, man. Like the first couple of cakes you have to make are fine. Then you start getting into these like fancier patterns. You can see me on screen kind of freaking out. I'm like, what do I do right now? And I couldn't pull off the final cake straight up. So it's not as dead simple as you might think. I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it. I'm looking forward to playing the full thing when it comes out later this month. So
like some weird icing claw game there or something.
Yeah, you have to like design like cake and make it fit like a certain mold. Now I've got 10 seconds to do this last one and I've accepted my fate at this point. I'm not pulling this off. I'm trying my best, but there ain't no way. you know. So, yeah, I got close.
You did. You did very, very well. And you'll certainly have another chance here in a couple weeks, but
yeah.
Yeah, I'm still excited for it. There's going to be a ton of variety in this game.
It's going to be
fun. Yeah, it's going to be an absolute blast. So, but if you want to see for yourself, the demo is, of course, available up right now on the Nintendo Switch eShop. And, you know, as they always are, demos are free.
They're free. And like I said, it's quick. If you have been curious about this one, it's a great way to get a look at it and see for yourself. Okay, well, the next story here is kind of funny, Eric.
It's so weird. It's so weird. But, yeah.
Let's talk about some Nintendo Switch Online icons. So, Nintendo has been releasing over the past few weeks, like, Mother and Mother 2 related icons, because those games are available on the US eShops. On the NSO apps, rather. And Mother 3, as part of the most recent Direct, was released on the Japanese NSO app for the Game Boy Advance, was not released here, and is probably never going to be released here.
At this point, probably not.
I mean, let's be real. but they, in turn, this past week, did make icons available for Mother 3, just like they did for Mother 1 and 2, but only for Japanese accounts. So, you know, and you've got a whole host of cool icons, and I could see why you would want to have these icons, you know, as part of your collection. People
like,
thought
Lucas
they,
was my main in Smash Brothers Brawl. I would have loved to have had a Lucas, like, just because.
Yeah, I mean, the characters in Mother 3 are incredible.
Yeah.
And you know, I thought it was really funny. People were finding workarounds, like, oh, well, if I swap my account to a Japanese eShop account, mm-hmm. I can go ahead and get these real quick and then swap it back to my normal American account and I'll still have my icons. And turns out, like, because Nintendo's never done this before, they had never accounted for that, and it was messing up people's NSO accounts. They weren't able to log back into them. It was, like, freezing them every time they would try to access the eShop. They also, people were discovering that if you if you had leftover funds in your wallet and then transferred to another region's eShop, you would then lose those funds. So people learned that. It was a whole meltdown over these Mother 3 icons. It was kind of funny. So
just another normal day on the internet with people acting completely rationally.
Yeah. Although, like, the bug or whatever of it locking you out of your eShop by doing this, mm-hmm. Was fixed. Since this has happened. So you can technically do this, if you want to, without, you know, fear, but just a PSA, if you do want to do it, make sure your funds are cleared out so you don't lose out on that stuff.
Yeah.
So, kind of a funny story.
But kind of a perfect segue into our next PSA. Speaking of funds getting locked out, it is March 8th, 2024, people. And if you think, well, I don't know, something about the middle of March seems familiar, well, that's because March 11th is going to be the final day that you have to merge any leftover funds you may have in your 3DS and Wii U eShop accounts to your Nintendo Switch eShop wallet. So, you know, you haven't been able to buy anything on the 3DS and Wii U eShops for some time, but if you still have leftover funds there, you still have a couple days left to move those funds over to your Nintendo Switch. Do not, like, if you're doing it, do it, because you've only got 3 days left and then they're gone forever. Just like the Mother 3 icon transfer fun stuff, you'll never be able to get it back. And Nintendo will say they don't care.
Well, yeah, and it's easy to do. You know, if you, I don't imagine this applies to many people, but if you are somebody out there who just has some money chilling on your Wii U or your 3DS, it's easy to go ahead and merge that to your Nintendo account. And if you're somebody who, like, if you've already connected those accounts in the past, then you're fine. But for the very small subset of people who have not, like, connected their 3DS and Wii U Nintendo account to their Switch Nintendo account already and have money left over, we're talking to you. If you have money left over, you've only got a few more days to get that transferred. So make sure you do that. It's your money and you need it now. Use it how you need it.
All right, JG Wentworth.
Exactly. Okay. Well, another quick PSA, speaking of corporations that don't care about you, let's talk about Warner Brothers Discovery.
Oh, my Lord. What a wonderful month they're having, aren't they?
Yeah. One of the stupidest companies in the world right now, full stop, for my money.
I feel so bad for NetherRealm Studios right now. I really do.
I feel bad for basically anybody that's connected to them. This week's most recent snafu involving them, they announced their intent to their internal developers that they plan to delist games under the Adult Swim Games label. Many of the developers have come forward saying that they've requested that Warner Brothers Discovery transfer the rights to them, saying, like, hey, like, if you're going to delist them, like, just give them back to us and we'll keep them up ourselves. We have communities around these games and, you know, we have people still buying them, they were met with pushback that they, quote, made the decision not to transfer ownership due to logistical and resource constraints, end quote. This is not confirmed or anything, but from what I have heard, Adult Swim Games right now is a dude. Like, it's like one person, like a skeleton crew. So, who knows?
We're a major billion-dollar company. We couldn't possibly find a way to logistically do anything like rights transfers.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't know if it's like a workload thing because, like, it's just a skeleton crew over there right now or what the deal is. But yeah, unless something changes internally, these games are expected to be delisted within the next 60 days by May. That's what these developers have been told anyway. There's a wide swath of them available on Steam, but the Nintendo Switch titles impacted include Duck Game, Pool Panic, Rise and Shine, and Samurai Jack Battle Through Time, which a lot of people are sort of pointing to because that game, for all of its flaws, is sort of like the canonical like ending of that story, like written by the writers of the show and stuff. Yeah. So that feels like a pretty big loss. So yeah, it sucks. Yeah. Eric's got it behind him. The big collector's edition behind him.
Yeah.
And it's a fine game. Like the game's fun. It's like fine. It's fine. It's worth playing, but like it just is like the most cut and dry example of, you know, we laughed earlier about how Nintendo like didn't include the games that you couldn't buy in their Mario Day sizzle reel. That's kind of funny. Ha ha ha. Stupid Nintendo. But like this truly is capitalism killing art.
Yeah.
In big bold letters. So it's unfortunate.
I mean, it's just, it's too bad. There's no such thing as like a temporary transfer of resources to help out with, you know, stuff like that, like the rights transfers. I don't know. I was like, I'm not an entrepreneur. I don't run a billion-dollar company. So, you know, I won't say that there is no way that Warner Brothers could do it. I'm just going to sit here and heavily imply it.
It's insane. The stuff that has been, have you ever watched the show Nathan For You?
No.
Have you ever watched that? Mm-mm. The whole premise of the show is like this dude is like just coming up with the most harebrained schemes and like business ideas and basically making these businesses that should never work, and sometimes they do anyway. He made a store once that was like, it was Starbucks, but he was like tiptoeing copyright by calling it Dumb Starbucks, and it was extraordinarily successful. Anyways, Warner Brothers Discovery to me is like an unsuccessful dumb Starbucks. Well, like
here's what I have to say about Warner Brothers. Look into the center of this glass onion.
Yeah, they're idiots, man. They truly are idiots. It's pretty impressive. Some of the bad business. There was a whole press conference recently where they shared with their investors their intent to move basically exclusively to free-to-play and live service games in the wake of Suicide Squad right Kill the Justice League, which it has been a total bomb for them. Despite the fact that, like, you know, controversy aside, their big single-player Harry Potter game did extraordinarily well for them. So, like, nothing about what they're doing is making sense, man. It's baffling. It really is baffling.
They're making all these movies and then literally not releasing them, and then...
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, it really is. It really is something else.
It genuinely, genuinely starting to feel like someone at the top is actively trying to tank the company.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm like, it feels like Nathan Fielder is in there making a bit, you know, like it's crazy. Like I don't get it. But
it's having a real world impact on developers who have created this art. That's the bottom line is these decisions are not happening in a vacuum. We can sit here and laugh as like, look at this stupidity, but this is having a real world tangible impact on people's art and their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's really unfortunate. For Nintendo fans, those games again, Duck Game, Pool Panic, Rise and Shine, and Samurai Jack Battle Through Time. So if you want to go ahead and pick those up, do it now.
Yeah.
While you have a chance. So, okay. Last PSA, Splatoon 3. There's currently a big run going on right now for this weekend. I'm sure there's going to be people in our community playing it. Speaking of people in our community playing it, very own Shy Guy. Thank you, Shy Guy, is hosting another community game night tonight in our Discord. The plan for that is Mario Kart 8. They're going to be playing that a little bit later tonight. I believe the time for that is 11 p.m. Eastern. So if you want to play some Mario Kart later tonight, we have links below to our friendly, free, and welcoming Discord community. Shy Guys have been putting on these community game nights. So come hang out. And if you're a Splatoon fan, there's a lot of people in our community that play Splatoon. So
yeah, we did it last week. We had a ton of fun. We had, you know, Adam Caparello came out, Super Nintendo came out, Shy Guy, Decoy. Mm-hmm. We had a ton of people. We were doing turf wars against each other, and it was an absolute splat.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of fun. Again, join the community. Lots of community gaming going on over there. So just PSA, Big Run. Play yourself some Big Run. Let's hit these notable releases and call it a night, shall we?
Sounds good. I'll go ahead and shout out an indie game that I've been looking forward to for quite some time that finally released this past week. Berserk Boy! From the aptly named Berserk Boy Games. As a matter of fact, I did a first look video, which is up on our YouTube channel, Right Meow, if you want to check that out. This is a 2D action platformer a la something like Azure Striker Gunvolt, Mega Man, like a real throwback classic style pixel art, just modern, you know, classic. It's a ton of fun. I had a great time with it in the short time that that I played with it for the first look, and that is absolutely a game I'm going to be blitzing through this weekend. Again, this is a game
to pull it up quickly enough. I was scrambling over here trying to pull it up. Yeah, here it is.
Yeah, so some weird out of pocket narrative stuff, but the game is still super super cool. Here you have the actual.
Talk about Super Saiyan.
Basically, like the near magical girl transformation of the main character into the titular Berserk Boy. But one of the kind of like Mega Man and Kirby, you wind up getting new power suits and new abilities throughout the course of the game that greatly change up how the gameplay works. But overall, it's just a really streamlined 2D action platformer that feels great to play, specifically with this first move set. You've got this awesome like lightning dash and lightning based attacks that just creates this really satisfying flow for combat, dashing into one enemy, dashing into another, and then doing a follow up kind of like just like you see on the screen right there. I was able to dash into an enemy and then follow up with a lightning bolt. And, you know, if you're find yourself near a bunch of enemies, you can just start this really satisfying combo going. The Zooetisham, the developer of the game, specifically designed it with like flow in mind, like Donkey Kong Country style, to where the levels are designed to the point where once you understand the gameplay, once you understand how everything works, the levels are designed to really get a nice, like just a nice flow going through the game. I'm gonna love seeing speedruns of this title. It's gonna be so amazing. But like I said, if seeing what's on screen looks like it's up your alley, I highly recommend checking out Berserk Boy, available now on the Switch eShop.
Very nice, man. Yeah, some good stuff hit this week for sure.
True story.
What do we have next on our list here?
Well, I know that in addition to Berserk Boy, a certain Overlorded Unicorn came out.
That's true.
Yeah, so
Unicorn Overlord did hit.
Another game that has a demo, if you want to check that out. It's a new RPG from, I confused them with Monolith Soft last time, but Vanillaware, a new RPG from Vanillaware. That looks really, really cool. Very visually striking, and looks like it's going to be kind of this. The first half of 2024 is kind of Nintendo Switch RPG time sink, frankly.
Yeah, big like strategy RPG, getting glowing reviews already.
Yep.
So very, very cool. Snufkin came out this week. Snufkin, yeah. Melody of Moomin Valley, which has also been getting some very good reviews. Kind of a cozy little Moomin game, you know?
Yeah.
Very cool.
I know our friend Lockleth is going to be playing that, so I might have to check out some of her coverage. I'm not really a big Moomin person, but...
Yeah, neither am I. Like, I know Moomin. Like, mm-hmm. There's a little bit of nostalgia there, but I'm not huge into it. But yeah, she's already got video and stuff up on it on her channel. So definitely check that out. Looks cute. Looks very cute and cozy. I'll tell you what, Valiant Hearts, not cute and cozy. But the sequel, Coming Home, Valiant Hearts Coming Home. This is a side-scrolling World War I game by Ubisoft with their UbiArt framework. The first game got glowing reviews, and I played it, and I liked it well enough. I played it on Wii U, I think. And I liked it. It's you know, it's about like telling the stories of people from World War One and stuff. And this is a follow-up to it. I think it's been out for a little while on PC and mobile, but now it's out on Switch kind of out of nowhere. Like, it just kind of dropped.
Yeah.
So, that's cool.
Yeah. Admittedly, I'm not familiar with this one, the Ancient Weapon Holly game, that's here in the notes.
So, Ancient Weapon Holly is a new game by Acquire, the studio who made Octopath Traveler.
Oh, really? Okay.
This is a like roguelike dungeon crawler from them. And like, it's kind of their, because they operate independently, like Square Enix owns Octopath Traveler and stuff, but they are a second party.
Yeah.
This is like their own original little IP. I think it's like a $20 little game. And it's like a little roguelike dungeon crawler where you play as this kind of like sort of like Zhang Chao looking, you know, like zombie vampire girl going into these dungeons and, you know, fighting demons and stuff. It looks kind of neat.
Weirdly, I kind of got like some Intelligent Cube vibes from it with all the weird boxes falling from this.
Yeah.
I'm sure it plays nothing
like boxes.
I'm sure it plays nothing like Intelligent Cube though.
Yeah, it looks kind of like old school, like a lot of the design. Like, you can tell this is made on like a budget, but
yeah, it's a top-down dungeon crawler, yeah.
Yeah, but I kind of like that they did it. Like, I kind of like that they're making stuff like this, so I kind of do want to check it out.
Yeah, it kind of feels along the same lines as like Voice of Cards almost, you know, not a premier retail title, just a, you know, smaller, more streamlined endeavor from one of Square Enix's studios.
Yeah, and it seems to me like when developers like that get to make games like that, there's a lot of passion there. They're doing it because they want to.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
But last, and certainly not least, one of the greatest games of all time, finally released on Nintendo Switch this week, Seth. I don't know if I'm worthy to play this game, but for those out there who want to, ladies and gentlemen, Plumbers Don't Wear Ties is finally on the Nintendo Switch.
I finally did it. It wasn't a meme. They finally got it out there.
I genuinely thought it was a running joke. I honestly thought after like the third announcement, it was like, oh, they're just joking with us. They're just trolling us at this point. It's never actually coming out. They did it. The mad lads at LRG actually did it. Plumbers Don't Wear Ties is a real thing that you can buy on the Nintendo Switch eShop right now in 2024. And I don't know what real life is anymore, Seth.
I mean, the timing around Mario Day, plumbers, you know, not a bad scenario.
Well, yeah, you know. Mario Odyssey, Plumbers Don't Wear Ties. I mean, they basically stand toe to toe in terms of quality.
Same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. They're the same pictures.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing.
So, yeah, this has been a passion project of LRG for a very, very long time. It is a famously bad FMV video game that, it's one of those, it's so bad, it's kind of adorable. It's endearing in how poorly it fails. So this has been something that LRG has been trying to get off the ground for some time. So not only can you buy it digitally, but if you somehow really want to, there is a physical version available from them as well. And I mean, this has been literally like 5 years coming at this point. So, but it's finally here. If over the past 5 years you have developed an intensely morbid curiosity for what this game actually is, you can finally see for yourself.
That's right. For better or for worse.
For better or probably for worse. But let us know what you guys are up to this weekend. If you're playing Plumbers Don't Wear Ties, if you're rewatching the entirety of Dragon Ball Z, if you're playing something for Mario Day, let us know. We'd love to hear what is going on in your world. Reach out to us on Facebook. Reach out to us on Twitter. And I'm going to make a slightly protracted Discord plug because we actually have a big project that we're asking a lot of our Discord members to help with right now. Details are in tomorrow's full episode of All In, a Nintendo podcast, but it's a big one. It's a fun one. We would love to have you join our Discord and see what this project is all about. But in addition to that, also make sure to like, subscribe, click the bell for notifications right here on the YouTube, especially if you're watching this right now on YouTube. If you're watching us on Twitter, go ahead and mosey on over to YouTube at some point. Not only do we post these weekly Nintendo news roundups, but there are all kinds of first looks. And I have a weekly series called Quarter Circle Forward that we're posting, gameplay videos, streams, all kinds of stuff that we're putting up all the time. But in addition to all the podcasts and all the content and everything that we do, Seth, we even create a pretty hefty chunk of exclusive stuff for our patrons.
That's right. Patreon.com/allinpodcast is the place to be. Yeah, I mean, I put out a new video essay this week, and patrons got early access to that, in addition to the exclusive videos and podcasts that they get every single week. So, a lot of value on that there Patreon for two dudes on the internet talking about Nintendo. Check it out for yourself. You don't have to take our word for it. There's a 7-day free trial to the Golden Banana tier, and check it out for yourself. Great way to support the show, of course.
Yeah, just like blah, again, blah, blah did.
But blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we love blah, blah, blah. Great dude. Yeah, and again, bit.ly/allinmerch. Pick up some merch if you want to support the show that way. Your likes, your comments here on YouTube are very appreciated. And if you listen to the show on your podcast feed, reviews are very appreciated too. Free, quick, and easy way to get our show in front of the people who need to hear it. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah, huge thank you to everybody who has done that, to everybody who's dropped words, to all of you legendary patrons out there, to everybody who has picked up a piece of our merch at bit.ly/allinmerch, and everybody who has even just shared our content across this vast internet of ours. To each and every one of you, we would like to extend a Mario Day namaste.
Namaste. It's been, y'all. So first of all, shout outs to the people watching us live tonight. I saw Yon32 there in the chat, Pat in the chat, and Bowza. Big thanks to everybody who came out and watched us live. It's been a ticking time bomb tonight because my wife will be home any minute, and we've just been in the back of my head the whole time. I'm like, oh man, she's going to come home. My dog's going to freak out. We have avoided that situation. So congrats, you know, claps, everybody. We managed to make it through the news roundup. We did it. Never mind.
I knew it. Oh my God. I was about to say it. I was about to say it. I swear to God, I was about to say it. I was like, watch, it's going to happen right now.
I'm so glad it did.
Oh my God.
Everybody. what a good ending. Everybody, we've got a great show for you tomorrow on All In, a Nintendo podcast, of course. You know, we've got a International Women's Day spotlight on the career of Yoko Shimomura. We, in celebration of Daylight Savings Time springing forward on Sunday, we've got the top five times we turned the clock forward in Nintendo history, kind of a sequel to our fall back top five we did like years ago. And we're doing an indie showcase on a game called Cavern of Dreams that I've covered quite a bit here on the YouTube channel. So that is on your podcast feeds tomorrow, a new episode of All In, a Nintendo podcast. Please be excited. So, yeah, thanks for everybody for tuning in. Before my dog freaks out anymore, I'm going to go ahead and end the stream. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend, everyone.